you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this evening, or for this morning, comes from the third chapter of Philippians, starting at verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord, Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Here ends our text. In the name of Christ Jesus, my dear fellow redeemed citizens of heaven, keep your eye on the road. A parent will often encourage their child who is learning to drive, knowing that you need to keep your eye on what's directly in front of you, but also keep your eye on what is out a little bit in the distance. Could I get a second pair of eyes on this? A husband asks his wife, handing her the tax information that he had just filled out for the previous year, knowing that a second pair of eyes can often catch mistakes if they were made. Keep your eye on the ball, a worried father yells out to his little league second baseman, mere moments away from taking a pop fly to the forehead. It's clear to see in our lives that what we pay attention to matters. If you want to succeed or do well in many daily tasks, you need to focus on the right thing at the right time. In Paul's letter to the Philippians today, he would make the same encouragement for spiritual matters. You need to have the right focus when it comes to the things of the faith. So pay attention to where you belong. Keep your eye on the prize and lift your eyes to the skies. As Paul's encouragement starts, he begins with a really clear directive. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Paul is encouraging the Philippians and us to keep our eyes on not only Paul, but many of the God-given examples and fellow Christians that we have in our lives. Even though there is a lot of unbelief in the world, God wants us to stand as a clear contrast to that and be the light to the world. It might be a more difficult task than we would think. Again, this would be a clear contrast from many unbelievers that we see throughout the world. Which, when Paul considers this contrast of belief and unbelief, even mentions that it brings up a well of emotion. He's brought to tears. Now I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, this emotion wasn't brought up because he knew that Christ's church would be persecuted. He'd heard that many times before from Christ himself and many others. This emotion comes up from realizing the reality of what happens to somebody who loses focus on what truly matters. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. And it's all because their mind is set on earthly things. We turn away from the comforts that Christ lays out for us in his word, and we turn to our destruction and our shame and the temporary distractions of this world. So now there are two paths laid out before us. On the one hand, you can follow after Christ, his disciples, the examples he has in his word, and fellow Christians, and you can model your life that way. Or you can model your life after the way the world would have you model it after, chase after material gain and ultimately perishable things. The choice seems fairly clear. We want to keep our eye on the prize. We want to focus on the examples of godly living that we have all around us. Pay attention to where you belong. Make sure your eye is solely fixed on that prize. Imagine a race. It's a long endurance race. As you're running it, the minutes seem to drag on into hours. The extent of track that you're running on seems to extend the longer that you run on it. Lactic acid buildup in your legs is making them feel like they're on fire. Your breaths are becoming short and choppy. You're not even sure you're gonna finish the race at this point. It's at that moment that any decent athlete would tell you to keep your eye on the prize. Now, there's a couple of different ways you could take that. One, you could focus on the finish line, but another way you could keep your eye on the prize is by looking at fellow racers. Seeing somebody else doing something well could give you quick little insights and tips how to adjust your technique on the fly. Maybe you need to pump your arms more. Maybe you need to stretch out your stride. Maybe you need to regulate your breathing. There's a lot of things you can learn from looking at other fellow examples. It's in this way you can keep your eye on the prize. Looking at other fellow examples, you can see yourself attaining that finish line. You can use them as models to carry you forward. Paul would offer the same encouragement in spiritual matters. If you are dealing with a particularly difficult cross that has come up in your life, perhaps you can look to a fellow congregation member who's dealing with a similar cross with prayer and endurance. Or maybe a close friend's sharpened conscience can aid you in resharpening your own. It doesn't even have to be in this current context. We have God's word as a tool for everything. You could have a biblical hero of faith in the back of your mind as you go about life's daily objectives. There are so many examples and fellow racers on the race towards heaven that we have before us. But that's eventually where we hit the rub, isn't it? Not only do we usually fail to perfectly follow after the examples that we want to follow after, but we come to the realization that, with the exception of Christ, most of the examples we follow after are also the same sinful human beings as we are. We're all plagued with the same sinful condition that goes back to creation, from David's sin of adultery and murder, to Paul's sin of persecuting God's own church, to our various sins today, if they're greed or anger or lust. We're trapped in this condition. And much like an athlete caught using a performance-enhancing substance is disqualified entirely from their event, we too would be disqualified entirely from God. God sees this sinful condition that we can't escape on our own. And not only are we not able to finish the race because of it, we're not even allowed in the race to begin with. But thanks be to God, that God has provided a way for us to finish this race. Even though we may constantly sin and be trapped in temptation, God has provided a way for us to enter into this race and finish it. And that's through Christ and his blood. Through Christ and his innocent life that he lived for us, and the death he died that he did not deserve to die, we can now bring ourselves before God. He's washed us totally and cleanly. Through Christ, we now gain the ability to finish this race. Although, admittedly, this was probably where we have to depart from the race metaphor. Normally, we would say that you would follow after other examples, other fellow racers, as a means of keeping your eye on the prize and finishing the race so that way you could earn the finish line for yourself. But that is something that Christ has already won for us totally. Paul's encouragement here is an encouragement to sanctify Christian living. Yes, we do want to run the race well, following after examples, but don't let it get into your head that you're running the race well so that way you can earn the finish line for yourself. Remember that that is something that Christ has already done for you completely. Now, we want to run the race well, keeping our eye on the prize, because we want to run hard for the one who has already won it for us. So that way, with our good racing, we can be a model to others and bring light to those who so desperately need it. After having just focused his congregation's eyes on the prize, reminding them of the examples they could follow, Paul now turns to the greater motivation that we have. Lift your eyes to the skies. Pay attention to where you belong. He focuses on the assurance that we have in heaven, saying we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, a powerful Savior, a Savior that is so powerful that he has the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. We have a Savior awaiting in heaven that is mighty to save. He's so powerful, he can do literally anything, and with that power, he has saved us completely with his blood. And this will all culminate when Jesus comes back on that last great day and brings us all to life, raises us up, gives us glorified heavenly bodies. And we look forward to that eagerly. And we lift our eyes to the skies, fully treasuring what is going to come next. It reminds me of car rides when I was younger. Obviously, dependent on getting from point A to point B, dependent on my parents, the question that would always be on my mind would be, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And are we there yet? And just when I would start to detect the frustration in my parents' replies after every question, I'd maybe try and modify it, ask how long it would take to get there, or some variation of that, with much the same results. I think at some point I eventually wore them down so much with my asking, because for one birthday present I got, it was a small handheld Garmin GPS, so that way I could occupy myself with my own minute-to-minute updates on our travels. I apologize if I've brought to mind any flashbacks, the joys of traveling with young children, but you gotta admit, their willingness, their eagerness to get to a destination sometimes is endearing, isn't it? Granted, sometimes the motivation may be just to get out of the car, but if you're heading somewhere fun, like a shop or a park or a friend's house, they're just excited to get where they're going. It doesn't matter what methods of entertainment there were in the car or the events that happened during the travels soon after the destination has been reached. They're there. That was the point. Paul would encourage us to have that same attitude as we look towards heaven. Look to the treasure of heaven that we have awaiting for us already through the blood of Christ. Keep your eyes solely fixed on what awaits you already. Stand firm. Stand firm and trust that God will take you to that destination. But again, sin enters the mix, and that kind of makes it a little hard for us. We may look at the state of affairs in the world, at the state of affairs in our own lives and in the lives of others, and we may ask certain questions of God. We may feel like we know better. Lord, why is this happening the way it is? Lord, why could you have not done it this way? Lord, why can't you just come soon, gather your elect to heaven, to be with you in eternal paradise, to escape this world of sin? Lord, are we there yet? Only this time, it's not God who loses patience with us. It's we who lose patience with God. We think that we have a wisdom greater than the infinite wisdom of our Creator, and we lose patience. And then we find ourselves turning away from God, turning away from His Word, and crawling right back to the distractions of the world, towards the shame and destruction that Paul had mentioned earlier. But Paul's message here is not a reminder of defeat. A sobering reminder that we fail to always look to heaven as the focus of our attention. Paul's reminder here is a reminder of joy. a reminder of joy that awaits you. And just like a small child can trust their parents to get them from one destination to the next, we too can trust our Father in heaven to bring us through whatever life brings us here on this earth. He'll bring us to that joy of heaven, that joy of heaven that awaits all of us through faith in Christ Jesus. So stand firm and keep your eyes lifted to the skies, fully treasuring what awaits us there. As we can see throughout much of our lives, what we pay attention to matters. As you go about your lives, remember that with spiritual matters as well. Pay attention to where you belong in Christ. Keep your eye on the prize, using God-given examples of Christian living to help you run the race well, so that way you can spread the message through your words and actions. And lift your eyes to the skies, fully treasuring what God has in store for you eternally. Amen.